if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I will love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the dead do lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Number 189, just across the page.
Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Nor voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek, and those who find thee find a bliss nor tongue nor pen can show. The love of Jesus, what
hope the author of that song doesn't mind if we have joy in other things other than Jesus, but true joy does indeed come from Jesus. All right. Dean, if you'd come, we'll stand and have prayer. I did. Sorry, I got a text from Mary, that she's taken Nancy, Mary Miller, taking her sister Nancy to the hospital, to the ER. So we'll remember Nancy in prayer as well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the blessing of this morning. We just thank you that our true joy is in you, but we also thank you for the joy we can have. The earthly joys that we can experience, newborns and family, many, many things we have to be thankful for. This morning we think of Nancy as Mary is taking her to the ER. God, we don't know what's happening, but we do pray that you would give the ER doctors wisdom and that they could help her, whatever her problem is, commit her to you. Bless Dean as he shares a message that you have laid on his heart. May we hear from you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I also greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. What a privilege it is to be gathered together to worship. And I was just touched and moved by that last song. To know the love of Jesus. None but his loved ones know. And I think that's partially our job, is to let other people know about Jesus' love, but to really experience it is for those of us who've accepted Christ as our Savior, to really know his love. And even in today's Sunday school lesson, oh, the depth of the riches, it's like it's beyond us even scratching the surface a little bit. And What a wonderful blessing. Today is the first day of Advent. I don't know if anybody follows the Advent, but the first day of Advent is about hope. And this morning, I'm thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And today is a special, just a special service of dedication. And I was blessed by the way Javen opened the service, because I wanted to look at that as well, that avenue of praying for our children. And Javen, you did an excellent job of laying the foundation for that. And just, I thank you for reminding the Spirit. When I think of someone praying for a child, and I know that a lot of prayer has gone into probably all of our lives, and I think especially of Antonis and Tonys, of the dealing with infertility and praying for children. But I also think this morning of those who that prayer was not answered for some reason. And so my heart goes out to those of you who were not able to have children as well. You're not forgotten. God knows you. And I trust that you can, that you can sense his presence, even in the sovereignty of God is one of those things that we don't understand, and we never will. And probably when we get to heaven, we're not going to worry about asking him about those things. Maybe we'll, I don't know. But this morning, I know that that each one of you, I'm pretty sure each one of you were prayed for, and there may have been different degrees of prayer for your life. But this morning, I would like for us to consider us as parents praying for our children, not only just before they were born, but I've entitled this message, "For This Child I Prayed." And all of you probably are familiar with Hannah's story. But before we do that, even, I'd just like to, as I think of us being thankful for the arrival of these young ones. And just, if you think about the helplessness of children, I think one of the saddest things is when you hear of young children being abused and being neglected and being mistreated and, yeah, used for sexual things and just things like that. They have to be, have to break the heart of God, I think. And so for us to recognize the preciousness of children, I think we do well. And maybe sometimes we don't, maybe we don't do enough for those unborn. I don't know. There's, and I hope that we never just get used to it. Well, there's abortions, and we're just one of those things. I somehow the prayers, our prayer life, our us being a temple. And one of the things I thought of before we, I want to say something before I start preaching. When Jesus went to pray, why did he go pray? Anybody ever think of that? Why did he pray? Did he have a lot of needs?
Communicate in fellowship with God.
Communicate in fellowship with God. And I think that that is our primary reason for praying as well. And so often we focus so much on what we're praying for. We want this answer, we want this, but what really I think God wants is for us to recognize our need of Him and our need for that relationship, our coming to God, praying, and just in some ways we commit ourselves, we resign ourselves to God, to the will of God. And I think that's exactly what Jesus did, was he slipped away. And it could have been he was being tempted at that time of something. I don't know, because I know that he was also all God. But one of the things I thought of this morning is Psalm 34, verse 3, that says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And I think that's what we want to do this morning, is to magnify the Lord and to exalt his name together, even as we are gathered here this morning. And may we truly give God the honor and glory that is due His name. And I would just like for a brief scripture reading, I would like to just look at Mary's song of praise in Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. After Mary had been pregnant for a while and probably had processed what was going on in her life, I think this is such a beautiful way that she responds. And she says in verse 46, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.'" As I think of this song, I think of the condition of Mary's heart, and I trust that that is our heart as well. Just the pouring out of praise, "Oh, magnify the Lord," and just allowing some of those things to just soak in the richness of God's grace. So we know that children are a heritage. According to Psalm 127, children are a heritage from God. I think you saw that in your bulletin this morning. 127:3. They're a blessing, they're a gift from God. And so what does it mean to dedicate a baby? Does the baby know this? We're doing it for the baby, I'm sure, but we're also doing it primarily for the parents, aren't we? To just recognize, and for us as well, to just recognize that we commit ourselves as parents to raise this child according to the way that God would want us to. And those were according to God's will. And realizing that children are a gift from God. And so we realize that that God has put our children in our care that we might glorify God with that gift in how we raise them. And as I think of my own life, I think of the fact that I'm pretty sure that I didn't do everything right. I don't know how many of you can identify with that, but wouldn't it be neat if the child, each child would come with a manual, and when something happens, you would know exactly what to do, and you would push this button and that button, and everything would be okay, and they would quit crying or whatever. But it doesn't work that way. Expectations in having children are sometimes, we become disappointed sometimes. It's a challenge, and I'm not here to play a downer on that, but it's the reality of life is that sometimes being a mom and a dad, it's quite a bit of work. It's a lot of sacrifice. So children appreciate it, right? But as I think of that, and to benefit from the love that, I mean, as I reflect back in my own life, I realize my mom and dad weren't perfect. But there are certain things that I think of that it's like, you know what, they introduced me to God. And how many parents, how many children never had that opportunity of having their parents introduce them to a loving God? And so, and not only that, I know that my mom and dad prayed for me. They prayed out loud for me. And I think that was probably one of the things I missed when my mom died. But I also, I know that her prayers are, as it says in Revelations, there are bowls. I don't know if they're Tupperware bowls or stainless steel or what they are, but there are bowls of prayers that are still in heaven. And I think those prayers are still good. And they have been committed to God. And I don't know, I find comfort in knowing that those prayers are not, they're not gone. They're still there. But there are still things that we miss. And I thought of Willie as well this morning. It's like in every time there's a blessing like that, there's also, when you love, there's pain. When someone is no longer here and we can't, we can't ignore it. It's the reality of life. And it's the reality of that our life here is but for a moment. And even as I think of us as being parents, I think of us as being given a short period of time where we have that time that to raise our children. And so there are times when we probably were angry at our children. I know I was. I have been. When what happens is that children come into your life, and they basically, in some ways, are in charge, aren't they? A little guy like Lincoln Henry can almost rule your life, can't he? But that's awesome. It's like the reality is that I need to adjust and just realize how helpless this little guy is and how much he needs me. And so my response, my life is going to be is going to affect him for the rest of his life. And so you have this small window of time of raising that child to bring honor and glory to God. And as we think of Hannah, we know the story of Hannah, who was not able to have children, and went to the temple and prayed and cried out to God. And in 1 Samuel 1, verse 26, after Samuel had been born, she went back to the temple, I believe, and she said this, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here." And she's talking to Eli, I believe, praying unto the Lord. Verse 27 says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I thought, wow, that's bad. Oh, would you want to take him away from home? And I wouldn't want to leave mom and dad at a young age like that. But if you think of the implications here, the whole thing of us lending our children back to God, that's not easy. And so to realize their gift is from God, and then to give them back. And I'm going to look at some of the... we know that children are a gift, Psalm 127. And then you have the fact that parents have the responsibility of teaching them, according to Deuteronomy. And then also, we as a church have a responsibility of assisting. In 1 Timothy, I think it is, where you have direction to mentor. But as I think of us praying, when we pray, we in essence release that child to God. We also know that that child may choose to be rebellious. And that is something that is out of our control. It's something that is very painful. But I want you to just take heart in this, is that God has not finished with any of us. And that includes wayward children. God has not finished. I'd like to look at seven things I don't know how many of you have ever seen these cards. This one here is Bible virtues to pray for your kids. And there's 31 different things to pray for. And the reason I bring this is because I use it every day. No, sorry, I confess I do not, but I have used it some. But as I thought about just the whole idea of even what Javen shared, is that whole thing of praying always. But to have reminders like this in front of you, I think are helpful. And my wife got these. I think I got one to pray for her and different things. But prayer is a very essential to life, Christian life. Seven things that are helpful to pray for our children. And number one is this, that Jesus will call them and no one will hinder them from coming. And the scripture verse that goes with that is, "Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and went away." As I thought of that, of us praying that, I thought, probably in a new way, I thought of the what Jesus says, "And do not hinder them." There's a lot of things that hinder people from choosing to follow God. But we all know that in order for someone to follow God, they must, first of all, answer the call, right? We can't do that for them. We can lead them. We can live our lives as an example. But to pray that Jesus will call them and no one would hinder them from coming. The most important thing that anyone can do in this life is to say yes to Jesus. If you do nothing else in this life, the most important thing that you can do in this life is to say yes to Jesus. To be born again. To be born twice is to die once. And to be born once is to die twice. Number two, pray that they will respond in faith to Jesus as a battle of the minds that we face. And to have someone pray for us that we will keep our thoughts pure. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8 says this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And maybe along with this whole thing of thoughts, pure thoughts, which covers a lot, but I think for myself, and I know I've shared this before, is that what is my quick response in tough situations? Like when somebody cuts you off on the road or whatever. Why am I in such a hurry? But I think part of that is that this verse, that it enters into this situation as well. Because it's like, don't we train ourselves in some ways? Because if we exercise yelling at that guy, we're going to yell at him the next time too, maybe. Maybe we're even going to, I don't know, hopefully we don't swerve at him. But it's like the things that are in our mind, the pureness of what is in our minds can only be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so to pray that God would direct that part of us, that mind, keep our thoughts pure, number four. Number five, that they will not be unequally yoked in relationships, especially marriage. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Praying for good relationships and praying for a marriage partner, huh? In God's time, you know? Number six, that their hearts will be stirred to give generously to the Lord's work. And I didn't necessarily come up with this list, but I think one of the best things for us to live healthy Christian lives is to be engaged. To be engaged generously in the work of God. And that doesn't mean that we have to go wherever. It could be that, if God calls us there. It could mean that God wants us to go to New York or Malaysia or wherever. But I think to be engaged in the work of, in God's work, wherever we're at. And the verse that goes with that is Exodus 25:29. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. And in some ways, I think, as we go through life, we like to hang on to things, don't we? That's mine. We got that right when we're little. That's my car. Don't mess with it. That's my toy. oh, you're playing with that toy, I want it too. But aren't we that way? We're possessive, and it kind of goes with us as we grow older, and I hope we can kind of lay that down. But it's something that we have to make an effort to do. Even as I think of as we grow older in life, to let go of the things that we really don't need anymore, that are just in a closet or on a shelf or filling space in the attic or whatever. Give to the Lord, and maybe by getting rid of the things that we don't need, we can use that as part of the gift to give back to God. And number 7, that when the time is right, they will go. And releasing our children is a process to let them go, to let your daughter go with another man, or to let your son go with another, with a woman, and they move out, and maybe they move out before they're married. Maybe they're called to go to the mission work. But the Great Commission is Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "And Jesus came and said unto them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That is each one of us. We are called to do that, to go. And like I said, it doesn't mean we have to go far, but to be engaged in the work of God and in the work of the gospel and in giving that message to others who need to hear it. And it could mean that we need to let our children go. And that can happen in various ways. But to recognize that God has given us the gift to use for a time and then move on and adjust to things. That doesn't mean I quit praying for my children. I think in some ways, as the children become older, it can be more complex. But to just know that we have a way, we have a place to go, we have a way to cry out to God. To me, that's so comforting. Just recently, just one experience that I had is just someone needed prayer for direction. And so Joyce and I just spent some time in prayer. And it seemed like immediately as I was praying, there was just a peace. And right away I thought about probably this is what's going to happen, you know. Well, I wasn't right, but... But that's okay. But the amazing thing about it is just that whole thing of when you go to God, there's something about releasing it to Him and feeling that peace of knowing that, okay, I've given it to you. I give it to you. And I continue giving it to you. And so that's the power of prayer. And we can do a lot of praying for each other. I think of Paul's many prayers in his Ephesians 3:14-19. It says this, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life, and the power that comes from God. Wow, what a prayer. And this is the prayer that I can pray for you, that you can pray for me. And we know the verse in 3 John 1:4 that says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I'm going to close with two more verses. The list of prayers that we pray for our children, talk about salvation, growing in grace, love, honesty, integrity, self-control, a lot of good things. Doesn't mean we have to have a certain pattern or whatever, and that there's some kind of magic words. But I think the whole thing of us just recognizing the greater power of God, that He loves us and He wants to hear from us. Another thing that I was challenged with is, as I think of that, we have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth. No parent that is not in tune with God is going to say that. That was by Charles Spurgeon. He who does not value his own soul is not likely to value the souls of his descendants. And he goes on and says this, when a man's heart is really right with God, he himself has been saved from the wrath to come and is living in the light of his heavenly Father's countenance. It is certain that he is anxious about his children's souls, prizes their immortal natures, and feels that nothing could give him greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. I think that is the greatest joy that I have experienced as a dad, is to see that my children walk in truth, to realize that they know God. I'm going to close with two verses from, one from 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And then Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you may have that hope, even in dark times, even when you're missing people, that you would have that hope to go on. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy that you have bestowed upon us, and we can only just barely scratch the surface of it. And I pray, God, that we would have that hope, that living hope in our lives as we go from here, as we go through this next week and the next couple days, even as we enter a busy season of Christmas. I pray that you would help us to just be focused on who you are and how much you love us by sending your son Jesus to us, Emmanuel, God with us. And I pray that you would help us to just sense your amazing presence as we go throughout each day as well. And may you be honored and glorified. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I'm just going to open it up. If anybody has anything you want to share, maybe correction or whatever, just give you that opportunity. Okay. If not, Dave, you have a song? Okay. Turn the time to Dave. Bring the mic up here. I'm going to have Matt lead us in a closing prayer. You want to do that, Matt? Good to have a lot of visitors here today.
Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to worship you and to hear your word. I pray that you would, that your spirit would be with us and show us how to apply it to our lives and be with us as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.